Just a reminder, last week we talked about the church's vision for 2020. Woo-hoo! Do you remember, if you were here, there were three words that we're encouraging you to remember for the coming year. And it's just been given to you. Amos is kinder than I am. That we are going to know Jesus, follow Jesus, and share Jesus. And that's what we're going to be about. And you seem to have got it. So if you haven't got it yet, just try and remember that. There will be a test at the end of the year. But as part of our know, follow, share, we also talked about five areas that we're going to work in next year. And for five Sundays, we're going to look at those areas and encourage you to think about your role within the life of our church and what God is calling you to do. Now, we had a really good prayer meeting in the prayer room before we started. It was good, wasn't it? And Emma prayed there'd be miracles today. There you go. She's got faith for miracles, and so have I today. And I think something that may happen to somebody here today is that you are going to get a fresh call from God. God's going to pick up the phone and say to you, this is for you. This is what I want you to do. Now get on and do it. It's about time you did. And I'm hoping that, and I'm praying that, as we look at this whole area of, let's have the next one, Amos. Today we're going to look at mission. And what we've said about mission is to go in Jesus' name to those who are near and far. Isn't it great that our lives have purpose? Isn't that fantastic as Christians? Do you know, Friday, had a day off, Lucy has asked me what we did. We went to TK Maxx, Lucy. Now, when my wife says to me, let's go to TK Maxx, my whole life seems to go down. Because you know what we're like, men, right? Men, we go shopping, we know what we want, we know where to find it. Yeah? You go to TK Maxx, there's no design, stuff is just dropped everywhere, and you have to spend hours looking for things, and when you find it, you're hugely disappointed. And I say to Tracy, this shop is so naff. I got really bored, and so what I decided to do is I started to take pictures of things that were naff and send them to my kids. If you get bored in TK Maxx, Keith, that's what you do. You get your phone out, take some photos, send it to people. And I did find three things which were absolutely terrible. And I said to Tracy, what is the purpose of these things? I did think about showing you, and you could see how naff they were. What is the purpose? One of them was a swan with a crown on its head for Christmas. Okay? What is that about? Another one was a kind of evolution thing with a monkey, a gorilla, a very short man, and then a very tall man. It upset me, because if evolution is happening, I've obviously not got there yet. It was this kind of thing, and you just thought, that's so naff. And then there was this bulldog-like dog with a crown on its head. And why would you buy any of this stuff? And I thought, it's got no purpose, has it? But the great thing is that you as a Christian, you have a purpose. You're not just something to look pretty or to look good. God has given you purpose in life. Yes? The thing is, what we need to do is we need to find out what our purpose is. Yes? I could ask you to show your hands, but I won't. People think they've discovered what their purpose is in life? A few. Don't have to put your hands up, but you kind of think, yeah, I know why I'm here. I know what God wants me to do. I think that probably there are Christians who kind of haven't really got it yet. They don't know what God is calling them to do. And this morning, what I want to do is kind of say, this is the picture. Now you need to find out what God's purpose is for you. Okay, so we're going to talk about mission. And there are four passages. Oh, it's true, isn't it? I don't know if you like the Blues Brothers film, but there was that famous thing, they are on a mission from God. So you, if you're a Christian today, you could say to yourself, I'm on a mission from God. couldn't you? I'm not going to make you say it, but you could. I'm on a mission from God. That sounds quite cool, doesn't it? You see, let's see what Jesus had to say about mission. Let's have the next one, Big Amos. Thank you. Now, when people talk about the Great Commission, they always go to Matthew, because in Matthew, Jesus kind of sets the scene. He says, okay, guys, I'm going to send you, I'm going to make you disciples. And we always quote those verses from Matthew, but what the gospel kind of people commenting on the gospel say, actually, the Great Commission is also found in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So maybe you should be out in the streets, maybe talking to some trees, preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then, of course, we find in the book of Luke at the end, he says, I'm going to send you what my father's promised. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So wait for something to happen and then go. And then, of course, in John, these are great words. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So Jesus says, as God has sent me, I'm sending you. So you can see that God has a mission. But what is that mission? If I was to say to you, okay, come on, there we go. What is God's mission? What would you say to me? You could say, well, he wants everyone to be well fed in our world. Is that right? He wants us to share our wealth with one another. Is that right? What ultimately is God's mission? Sitting there thinking, aren't you? Tracy said, what are you preaching on this morning? I talked about God's mission. I said, I'm going to ask people what God's mission is. She goes, oh, okay. And then it went very quiet. I was waiting for an answer. I didn't get one. We're all thinking, aren't we? So what is it? Now, when I was kind of researching, I came up with this answer. To redeem a lost world. Okay? We know that God loves the world, don't we? It says in John chapter 3, God so loved the world that he did something. He sent his son to redeem the world. What does that mean? It means to buy back. You see, if we go through what the Old Testament has to say, we realize in the Old Testament, we see at the very beginning of the Bible that Adam and Eve, they chose to disobey God. They sinned, the Bible says. And at that point, the relationship with God was broken. And at that point, God had to do something to restore that relationship and redeem mankind. And we go through the Old Testament and we see that there's a guy called Abraham. And God starts working with Abraham. Through Abraham, he creates a nation. Then Abraham has Isaac and Jacob and so on and so on. We then get to King David, and the Messiah's coming through the line of King David. And ultimately, we get to the New Testament where Jesus turns up and he is the Redeemer. He is the one who's come to save the world. Still with me? How does he save the world? Dying on the cross. He gives his life so that we could be redeemed. And Jesus said that he came to seek and save what was lost. And that is us. Okay? So God's mission is what? To redeem the world. Now the thing is, when Jesus left, and we just read, just seen four passages, Jesus said basically, guys, I'm done. I've done my bit. I've died on a cross. I've risen again. I'm going to heaven. And now the job of redeeming the world, well, it's been done, but the job of going telling people and spreading the good news is down to you guys. So on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came, and all of a sudden, they went out. And the great thing is that their mission is our mission. Yes? Got it? Shall I sit down then? Finished. Is that right? It's that simple, isn't it? Yeah? So we all are on mission. When I was at Bible college many years ago, they used to say, we're going on mission. They didn't send us to Moldova. They sent us to Cheam. quite posh and cheap. Plenty of food as well. And we went to Toxteth, just after the riots, if you're old enough to remember them. And we were told, while we sat in this minibus, he said, keep your heads down. They think you're the police. We're gonna be they'll start stoning us. Great place to be. But we were sent on mission. But the truth is, we're all on mission all the time, aren't we? Actually, yes? So, let's think about my mission and your mission. So let's have the next one, Big Amos. Yeah, okay. So what's my mission? You see, when you became a Christian, if you are a Christian, when you gave your life to God, God put together his mission plan for you. And it tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2. If you read Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about God's grace, how we're saved by grace, not by the good works we've done. But then he goes on to say, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourself, it's a gift of God, okay? Not by works, so that no one can boast. For you are God's workmanship, okay? It says in the message that you are God's masterpiece, okay? Ever been thought yourself as a masterpiece? But you... Oh, Doreen, you are, okay? Well, thank you. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do. So actually, God's got a work, a list, a to-do list for you. Okay, how many people have got to-do lists at home? Do you know, I've conveniently hidden mine. It's all stored up here. I keep avoiding certain jobs. But we've all got a to-do list from God. Isn't that exciting? Oh, that didn't go. Yay! Eddie, you've got to finish your church. That's on your list, isn't it? Yeah? So we have a list from God, okay? So we're on mission from God. We have a list from God. So let's think about, okay, let's think about the next thing. I've got three things. I want three big questions I want to ask you. Here we go. Where does God want me? That's a really important question, okay? Where does God want me? And you may say, well, he wants me to live at 52 Cedar Law Close. Okay? And that hasn't changed, has it? So God has put you there, and God has put you there for a reason. It says here, this is taken from Acts, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So what God, Jesus was saying to his disciples is basically, start where you're at. Let's begin here. We're going to go to the country. Then we're going to go to another nation. And then we're going to the whole world. That's a pretty big vision for 120 people, isn't it? That they are going to reach a whole world. But Jesus said, well, start where you are. And I want you today to think about where God has placed you. Let's just think about that, shall we? First of all, he's put you in a home. That sounds like we're old, isn't it? That sounds like we're all past it. But actually, God's put us in a place where he wants us to serve. And that is within your home. And so often we think to ourselves, you know, I need to go to Moldova. But actually, there's a mission role at home. You are our masterpiece, Doreen. And God has married you to Alan, okay? Who's a work in progress. But you see, the two of you, God has put you together. So in a sense, what God's call on your life is to be together. And to have a marriage where God is at the center. To love one another. To model that to your children, to your grandchildren, to people around you. So that when people look at your lives, they go, do you know, Alan and Doreen, they're not bad, are they? They love each other. They're so old, but they still love each other. Not now, please. But it's true, isn't it? What should we be modelling? And if we're married, if we have kids, God has put us there and he wants us to live, that's, you know, as God's people. To be different, to show the world the difference that Jesus Christ makes in a marriage, in a home. And I know that's challenging in today's world because there are so many pressures on our families, on our time. But we need to honour and we need to work on our family life, because so much stems from that, doesn't it? Also, God's put us maybe in a workplace. God's put you there. It says that we are to be his witnesses, to share our faith, to again, to model what it means to be a Christian, to be like Jesus Christ to those people around us. That can be challenging, but actually that's what God wants, us to live a life that is glorifying to him. So we've really just begun. We haven't even got out the front door yet, have we, really? But then the next thing is, how does God want me to, you know, where has God put me? Well, he's put you in this church. Hallelujah. We love you. We love the fact you're here, that you're worshiping with us. But God wants you to serve in the life of a church. I sat at the back over there looking around thinking, this is amazing. It's amazing to see you here worshiping God. But also God wants us to use what we have to serve him here in this place. And if you're not part of this church, think about where God wants you to be. Maybe he wants you to be part of some other church. But God puts us in families, but he also puts us into spiritual families where we need to give and love and serve. So, are you in the right place? Now, the other thing, of course, is maybe God is calling you to do something outside of the life of this church. I love Phil's enthusiasm this morning. Thank you, Phil. You've come back and you've shared great vision. I thought, I don't need to preach, just leave you up for another 5 minutes. Because there's something, we can see it within you, that God has put something in you. And, you know, that idea of going next year, I think is amazing. And maybe for some of us, we've heard that this morning, God is saying, yeah, actually, it's going to be you. You, Phil, and a few others are going to go and do my work. And maybe it is just for a short time, but maybe for some of us, there's something God wants us to do. He wants to move us to a different place. Okay, we need to move on, because I've only got another 10 minutes. I'm on the clock this morning, aren't I? Yeah. Definitely. Okay, secondly, is what does God want me to do? Now, I read this verse this morning, when I was preparing on Wednesday I was preparing, and I thought, this is an amazing verse. I love this verse. God really spoke to me. I'm just going to find it on my iPad. Here we go. If you want a verse to take you through this week, to feed on and to think about, just kind of go to your YouVersion Bible or your Bible, underline it, highlight it, because this is what God wants us to do, okay? If we're thinking about being on mission, this is from God. Above all, okay? So it's actually saying there's stuff we can be doing, but this one is a bit higher than all the others. Okay? Love each other deeply. Oh, wow. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Because most of us, we just kind of get on. We say hi to each other. If we're huggers, you might get a hug. You may get a handshake. Whatever you feel is appropriate. But what actually Peter is saying to the church, he says, I want you to love each other, get the word, deeply, okay? So that's an emotional thing. It's not just hi, there's an emotional movement within us when we love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. So actually what it's saying is we're not perfect. And we've all screwed up. We've all messed up. But actually, when we love each other, it doesn't matter. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's great, isn't it? Oh no, they're coming to dinner. No, don't grumble. Look forward to it. Get together. Meet up. Get to know one another. Each other should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Okay, so there's no showboating. It's not about me. It's about serving each other. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. This is good too. If anybody speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What amazing verses. If that was lived out in the life of a church, what an amazing place that would be. Oh. Maybe this is us. This could be us. This should be us. That we love each other dearly, that we're willing to share what we have. We're a group of people who serve, and then we speak those words of encouragement that come from the very heart of God. Wow. You and me, we have a part to play in that. So let's just think about this, shall we? Here we go. Thanks, Amos. There's three at the bottom. Okay, firstly, to share. Do you share what you have? It's one lesson you have to teach your kids as parents, isn't it? Come on, share. See, I think what happens is they do share, and then they get to a point where they don't share. And that's normally teenage to adulthood, isn't it? How many of us are really good at sharing what we have been given? To have open hands and open hearts to other people. Then we go on about serving. Yep, we're here to serve. And I think sometimes we feel that it's just for young people to be serving. How many young people are on your trip, Phil? Was it you and 11 teenagers?
Including me as young.
Yeah, no. Yeah? What? 8-year-old. Oh, amazing. Hey, blast. Moldova next year. They can have all of them for a week. But so often we think, oh, this is for young people. Do you know, when I was young, I was probably 16. I was serving in Sunday school. I was doing some youth stuff at 16, and it just helped me so much. We have young people helping in Blast. We have young people helping in Awana. That's great. But I read something very, very profound this week, and I need to quote it correctly. God's not done with you until you're dead. That is profound, isn't it? God's not done with you until you're dead. Because you're always on mission, and God has stuff for you to do, to serve, to share, and to speak. And sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm retired now and I've got other things to be doing. But actually, maybe you've got even more time to be doing things for God. Lastly, I put up there to speak. Do you know, we are God's mouthpiece. It says so up there, doesn't it? We should speak the very words of God. And what we do think is so often we're going to say, we'll do that in church. Okay, God bless you. Okay. But what we don't do is we don't take it outside the church sometimes. So when we're speaking to people who don't believe, do we ever think to ourselves, am I speaking God's words to this person? For a while, there was a few years ago, there was a great thing about prophetic evangelism. And the emphasis was, when you're going to go and evangelize, what you need to be prophetic. You need to have a word from God to give them. And I think that's great, but I think it makes it a bit grand. Because I think all of us are capable of sharing something of God with those we meet with. And I would encourage you to think about your words to those people you work with, your family. Am I actually speaking God's words to these people? I need to move on. I've got exactly 5 minutes, according to my... Okay, how does God want me to serve? This is really important, actually. Because the thing is, we can think myself, do you know, I've got to serve, I've got to go and work in the office, I've got to do all that stuff. But what is the attitude behind our service? Let's just pick up three things. Because there it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So Jesus was someone who was on mission, yeah? Totally committed to saving people. How did he do it? Firstly, we have to say that he was filled with love for people. Because actually love changes things, doesn't it? Hands up who's in love. Only three of you. Okay, hands down. Maybe I should do that again. Because there's some of you who should be in love. Because you're married. And you're in a relationship, so therefore you should be in love. Yeah? Cool. Because it changes you. Okay, changes, doesn't it? You know, because you start to think, how can I show my love to my lovely wife? I know what I'll do. Every morning, I'll get up and make her a coffee, take it to her while she's lying in bed looking beautiful. How about I write her a letter, or I send her a card, or buy her flowers? You know, there's loads of ways of showing love. But what happens is, it comes from here, and normally ends up going out of your wallet. But it's true, isn't it? Love makes us do things which are actually extraordinary. Because when we're in love, we sacrifice, and we give things, and we share things, and we go beyond what maybe is normally expected. You see, in Corinthians, it says, if I don't have love, basically the stuff I do is worthless. That's very challenging, isn't it? Because where's the motivation for what we do? Motivation for mission should be the love of God and for the love of people. Secondly, we should be filled with power. Okay, what does it say? It says in, I love that bit in Luke 24, where it says, you will be clothed with power. Isn't that a great picture? It's a bit like putting your Superman costume on. Isn't it? Because that's what he did. And Spider-Man's the same. You don't see Spider-Man walking up the side of a building without his costume on, do you? You don't see Superman flying around in his three-piece suit. He puts his costume on, and then he's suddenly somebody different. Well, we didn't put anything on because God has already clothed us with power. So that actually makes your serving, let's get this, supernatural. When I serve God in the power of God, what I do is supernatural. Do you get that? It makes you different. It makes you a very powerful person, actually. And God has given us his Holy Spirit so that we can go on mission for God to share, to serve, and to speak his words. Okay, and the last one, humility. This is an interesting one, isn't it? I think humility is so important. You see, when we take the limelight, sometimes God doesn't have that limelight. God says that we should be humble because he is humble. And in humility, what happens is God gets the glory and not me. So, where does God want you to serve? Just have a quick mental, where does he want me? Are you in the right place? Or is there somewhere else? Secondly, what does God want you to be doing for him? The stuff is on your to-do list. Have you discovered what it is? And thirdly, how does God want us to do it? He wants us to do it in love, in his power, and with humility. You are on mission. How's it going? Again, been kind of preparing today, and this last verse is the one kind of I landed on. It says this, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. And that's the key part of that verse, is that God wants us to offer ourselves to him. Today, maybe he's given you the call. And he says, I want you to do this. Our response surely has to be to God, say to God is yes. I am willing. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, God says, who am I going to send? And there's Isaiah say, send me. God is looking for people today who will say to him, send me. I hope that will be you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray, shall we? Let's just ask those three questions again, shall we? Where does God want me? Maybe it's here, maybe it's somewhere else. Secondly, what does God want me to do? What is on my to-do list? What are the things that he has designed me uniquely to do? And then lastly, how does God want me to do it? Father, we thank you that your mission is to save this lost world, to redeem it for yourself, to see men and women, young people, boys and girls, come to know you and have their life transformed. And Father God, today, as your church here in Buckskin, we thank you for your call to each one of us. And I pray that today, as we have heard your voice, that we will respond. And we will say, here we are. Send us. Father, I want to pray today for those you've been speaking to specifically. I pray that as they've heard your word, they will offer themselves as living sacrifices to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would take that offering. You would bless them. You would fill them and you would use them. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.